Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm your host, Jeffrey Wright. Still can't follow me on the Everything app. It's awesome. I think maybe this is the week, boys, that we just bite the bullet and we just make a new account. I think that's probably what's going to happen. So maybe if we get the account back someday, maybe. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to stay up to date with everything happening here at the station, you can listen live on the Odyssey app. You can even listen on demand with the rewind feature. We're also streaming on the TuneIn radio app as well as the iHeart radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey. Happy Monday. How's it going?
It's cold. It's miserable. I'm not built for this.
It's not even just that it's that. It's the fact that on Saturday it was
75 degrees. Like, I went out and walked the dog at halftime and I was like sweating. And then my wife was like, you know, it's going to be 30 tomorrow. I was like, well, that'll be awesome. Joining me, as he does each and every Monday, he is the maestro of fun and games here in the Memphis area. He's the host of Writer Than Right Trivia. You can hear that each and every Thursday on the Jeff Calkins Show, 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Now, you can follow his website, CerritoEntertainment.com. You can find him on the Everything app at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Greetings.
How was Saturday?
It was a lot of fun down there. We were hosting the college football frenzy trivia with me. I was down there with Connor and Gabe, hanging out at Horseshoe Casino, the Caesars Sportsbook in there. Had some exciting early games, right? That's the Indiana. Yeah. We have to watch Indiana almost lose to Penn State. There's one of those games that's kind of like it was initially put on the smaller screen.
Sure.
It's like we were not expecting that to be the game of the moment, but it was definitely the early game on Saturday. It was a lot of fun. We saw Hank from Horn Lake, a bunch of other listeners from the station. We're back down there one more time, December 13th. So December 13th, mark your calendar. Taylor Swift's birthday. It's already marked, I know. And you bring your Swifties with you. But we'll be back there December 13th. I think it's the last full Saturday of college football coming up in just a few weeks. So it's a lot of fun there. And also, I'm excited. I'm back in Mississippi tonight. I'm heading down to Olive Branch. We bring a music bingo down to Olive Branch.
All right.
At the Hueys.
The new one, right?
The Hueys. The newest Hueys is now the newest place to play music bingo as well. It's our fifth Hueys. We now play in Olive Branch, Southwind, downtown Cordova, and Carterville. So it's our fifth Hueys location. But starting tonight, Monday night, free to play.
Big potato soup night tonight.
Oh, it'd be perfect night for potato soup.
Big
from
potato
Hueys.
Soup.
Oh, absolutely. We're giving away Malco movie passes tonight and much more. So get out of the house, come get some potato soup, come see me at the Hueys in Olive Branch.
So we will start with the overreactions. We'll discuss, of course, I think really, we'll start with Tiger football. We'll perhaps get into the Grizzlies as well as Tiger basketball. We'll get into a TV timeout since, well, not really a whole lot of reason to do some projections for the college football playoff. It seems a deal is unlikely tonight for ESPN and YouTube TV. So if you're someone that has been dependent on YouTube TV to watch your ESPN programming, you can still go get the digital antenna. I recommended this to Chris Harrington. Like, it's not a foolproof plan, but it's like $20. You can watch ABC in HD. Like, you can do that this way. So that would be one of the options. We'll get into more from the world of television and perhaps sports on television. We'll get into the list. And George, I'm going to need a new head coach. So you're going to have to talk me through some options because
there's only one.
Belichick?
Yeah, that's the only one.
You know where I'm going.
He did win two rings. I mean, how do you have some guys in mind on your end?
So the ideas that I have, I somewhat don't want to put into my mind, because for those that don't know, while Dable was fired, it at least seems like the early reports are Joe Shane saved his job.
Right.
And so the indications are he's going to make the hire. So,
okay.
I don't want to put like great ideas in my head, but we'll go through some possibilities and tell you exactly what I'm thinking. We'll also get into the weekend that was. Also, this Big Ten story's interesting to me, because I think if it goes a certain way, they might have actually opened the door for the Super League, perhaps. So we'll talk about that. CJ Hurt's going to join us like he does each and every Monday during the second hour. We'll talk to him at 3:30. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But here's the dilemma that I have.
All right, we got a dilemma.
All right, so Friday night.
You finally have a Friday night off. No high school football.
No high school football. Aaliyah and I went to dinner. It was lovely. I settled down. We're in the second quarter of the basketball game, and it was nice to just have a normal NBA game. You know, the Grizzlies were a favorite. They were playing well. Yeah, the game got a little iffy there at times in the second half, but for the most part, they had a double-digit lead for most of the game. You felt like it was a pretty comfortable win. Cool. Tensions lessened. You're feeling good. It's like, okay, it was nice to just have a game that you were supposed to win. You won it. You played well, and everything felt fine. Then we flip on the Tulane game. And right off the bat, basically a three and out, and then Retzlaff goes down and basically one play 65 yards. And then really the story of the first half for me was, I've watched Jake Retzlaff play a lot of football. That was the best I've ever seen. And he was phenomenal. And yet again, you find the Tigers digging themselves a hole. But I think what felt different about this hole was, number one, Brennan Lewis clearly did not look right the entire game. Even when he was somewhat playing well and was able to stay in there, you could just see he did not have the mobility. The running game wasn't explosive, because basically Tulane was daring Memphis to throw. They fall way behind, and then Memphis does what they do. They start getting some stops. They start converting it into touchdowns. They get the two-point conversion, and then lo and behold, you find them with the football and a chance to go win the game, and they don't get it done. And so, on one level, I believe the most important thing for someone in my position is always be fair, especially to the teams you cover. Like,
yeah.
Like, I just think that's a big part of it. Do I have to be fair to Hugh Freeze? No, I don't cover him. Like, but if I did cover him, that would be a different thing. So, and part of that is also a bit. But what is actually fair? Because it was a game in which you lose a one-score game. I think you came in as a 3.5-point favorite. That's a standard college football game where you came up on the wrong side. The other team really outplayed you, I felt like, for most of it. But you had moments where you outplayed them, and then the crowd got into it, and you thought, here we go again. But they come up short this time. And really all I kept thinking about was, while it's not exactly the same scenario in that one guy took over a program that was bad, but my biggest overreaction right now is just Memphis football has their mark wrecked, where he's undoubtedly done a very good job. Program is never cratered. You're never embarrassed by the program.
Oh, yeah.
There are seasons that are better than others. The difference for me is when Mark Richt took over Georgia, that was not a good job. Now, the difference when Ryan Silverfield took over Memphis, they're coming off a Cotton Bowl, and they've won the conference. And on the one hand, I also acknowledge there are differences in how some of those coaches made championship games. We don't have divisions anymore. But I think the number that I just can't quite get over is, since UCF, Houston, and Cincinnati have left, six different teams have played for the conference championship game. Memphis is not one of them. That's the one that is tough for me to sit there and handle, because I'm not saying each and every year I demand that this team plays for the conference title. I understand when you get a league this big, schedules are not balanced. And sometimes it's going to bounce one way for you, and it's going to bounce one way for them in other years. But that's, I think, the part that's hard for me to get over is you should at least be one of the six teams.
For sure. And they have not been. We've got the six. So that's it's not happening. It could happen, right? So for the record, when we talked before the show, we're trying to do the math.
I've been working out some scenarios.
Seem like Memphis is officially mathematically eliminated yet, but that could happen probably by the weekend. It's going to depend on what other teams do, right? Memphis, still, we keep saying it, they need to win out. You always need to win out in college football to really get anything done, and they got to win out. But also, it's going to matter how some of these other teams perform, because it did end up being a conference of multiple contenders here. We don't know who's going to win the conference. That does put Memphis in a spot where it could still happen. But it does seem schools like North Texas, like teams like South Florida, teams like Tulane, they did on Friday night, is their coaches are coaching the way that we wish Silverfield would coach. They're handling business, and they're doing what's supposed to be done. If they're losing a game, it's to a quality opponent on the road. Like the other teams in this conference are being led, and the final result of their games or as the expectation we should be holding Silverfield to, it's the one we do. It's the expectation, but he doesn't get held to that expectation. It's like, hey, well, things could get worse. We don't want it to get worse. So we're going to stick with this guy as the coach, because it could get worse, though you got to consider it also could get better if you have a coach like they've got in South Florida, like you've got a coach like they have in Tulane. If you have a coach like what's going on in North Texas this year is quite frankly remarkable. And correct me if I'm wrong, if they make the championship, that will be team number 7.
Correct.
Right? Because they haven't been there yet. So that would be a whole nother new team making it to the conference championship. So
I've looked at the scenarios. This seems to me to be the one, and I've gone through tiebreakers and whatnot. I think this is the cleanest way for it to stay. And I'm trying to stay reasonable. Okay. North Texas plays UAB this weekend. Navy plays USF. Memphis plays ECU. Tulane plays FAU. All right. I think what you need the rest of the way is, obviously, Memphis has to win out, as Kevin stated earlier. That's a no duh. So Memphis would have to beat ECU, which, by the way, they are now a 2.5-point dog. Now, I don't know if that's because everyone was looking at and saying, Brennan Lewis is probably not playing. And so, I would be curious to know if that is partly Brennan Lewis speculation, because Brennan was unable to go the rest of the way. So if you get Memphis over ECU, and then Memphis beats Navy, and then you have Navy beat South Florida at home this weekend, and then you would basically need...
That would be pushing South Temple, Florida out.
Then you would need Temple on the last week to beat North Texas. If you calculate...
Or they could lose to any... I mean, that's North Texas could lose to somebody else too, right? They don't have to lose just to Temple.
North Texas... Well, I think that's going to be the closest one. So... North Texas's remaining games are at UAB and at Rice. So, like you said, you could give them a loss in either of those three games.
You need North Texas to lose.
Correct.
Again.
You need South Florida to lose to Navy. And then, I mean, if they took more losses, but I'm trying to keep it in the realm of reasonable.
So, is Tulane locked in their appearance?
Tulane at this point, because Tulane has FAU at Temple and at Charlotte. The other thing I'm thinking is, if the goal is just to get to the championship game, Tulane's the one team you don't have a tiebreaker against. So advance them on. And then your path is, all right, you go play at Tulane.
But I've always felt like the get to the championship game is the goal of Ryan Silverfield. And he's obviously not achieving that goal. But that goal and that achievement means more to him than I think it would mean going forward. Because that just erases this big...
I guess the one thing I would say in response to that is, I get what you're saying. If, though, they were to get to the championship game and win the championship game, I think they are back in the playoff. Because the Mountain West took a
big... If they win it.
Correct. Should they win it.
Because what I'm saying, they get to, it's, to me, is always has kind of been like, that's just not where this program is right now. It's the urgency that doesn't have the true sense of urgency that I feel like Memphis is in. But it is something that Silverfield needs to do because he's never done it. And he's got to, you know, it's great for him to make it there so people cannot hold that against him anymore. But what does it do for the future of the program just to make that game? Just to make the game doesn't do anything. You got to win it. You got to go to the college football playoffs. That's where we're at right now. Sure would be nice to go there, though. Anyway, we veered off a little bit.
No,
but I've always felt like that was – that's putting the bar too low for where this program is. And, the quality of quarterback – and yeah, you watch on television, they say, oh, he's adapting. So there's 70 new players on this team, one of the most of any team in college football being added to this roster. It's a tough task for Ryan Silverfield. And we know it's not an easy job, and there's concerns you get somebody else in, they're not going to be as good as him. But the scenario's there. They could still make it. It could still happen, right? But it doesn't feel like that, does it, Jeffrey? It doesn't feel like that's going to happen.
No, it feels like this was your chance. And I think the reason why, like,
but it's not Friday. Is it Friday? Friday wasn't that awful. I mean, obviously the first half was awful.
No, but there was no shame. Like, that was a well played. You went up against a team that their quarterback was insanely hot in the first half, right, and they built a lead and you couldn't come back.
A team that's probably going to the conference championship.
Correct.
Against a coach that is going to be on the list for other schools to possibly hire away. So you were playing a great team on Friday. The biggest problem, and I was hanging out with a group of folks this weekend, including Jason Smith right here of 929 FM ESPN, and I was talking to Jason about this, but it all goes back to the UAB game. It goes back, like, if they don't lose the UAB game, it's a different day today in the city. It's a different conversation. Memphis still has a real legit easy shot to make it to the championship game if they don't lose that game to UAB. Like, Memphis has a much easier path. The UAB game is what screws all of this up.
Yes.
And because Friday night, a respectable loss for anybody. South Florida would have lost that game. You know, other teams, like, there's other, like, it's a respectable loss to lose to another conference contender on a Friday night, a late kick, and like, it was a normal loss. And the fact that the final score made it look like it was a great game, a much better game than it actually was.
Yeah, it was one of those weird things where the game never felt close, but at the same time, Memphis has the football down 6, and a touchdown wouldn't have 100% won it because obviously Tulane had timeouts. They could have managed the clock differently, but it was going to put you in this position where it would have felt to me, honestly, exactly like the South Florida game where I'm sitting there going, I think the other team has outplayed them, but lo and behold, here they are. And I don't take that away from them. I think the problem, though, is if you're just judging this season on its own, it's like completely understandable. But the problem is it just feels like Groundhog Day. Like, yet again, we're in a situation where a bad loss to a team and then a respectable loss is what keeps you out of it. But it feels like we've done that multiple times, and here we are again, even so much as to the point where it's like, I fully expect this team's not going to collapse. Like what we saw last year, like the end of the season, it's like once they'd played their way out of the conference standings, like one of the best games they played all year was at Tulane last year on Thanksgiving. And it's like, you can talk me into where they go 10-2 and you're left wondering, how am I supposed to feel about this? Because you don't want to sit there and just be like the ultimate negative Nelly and cynic and whatnot. But at the same time, it's like, man, like, why are we still doing this year after year after year when the key difference to me, unlike other years, even years where they've won the conference or played for the conference, they have, if not the best job in the league, the second best job in the league. And yet we're still going to be sitting here. I think now they're in 6th, but we're just looking at another year where they finish somewhere between like 4th and 5th in the league.
Right. And I mean, and as far as, I mean, there's it, Jeffrey, I don't know. It's overreaction Monday, right? That's where we're supposed to overreact, right? And you know, I've been saying on this station for quite some time is that I'm concerned that I don't know if Ryan Silverfield is the guy for this moment, this time, for the Tiger football program. I mean, he's obviously kept it afloat, but I think we need something more than that to position this team for what year is it? You say it all the time. When's conference realignment happening again?
Most likely. So 2030 is when the contracts are up, but we'll start to see movement usually around 2028. Like, it's so usually
that's very, very soon.
Yes.
Very, very soon. So time is ticking, and the importance of the quality of your football team, whether you agree with it or not, or think it's not as big of a deal, you want to factor in other things are a bigger deal. If the other things are a bigger deal, those things Memphis can't control to the most part outside of the investment of money into the program, which is not guaranteed going forward. You know, from FedEx, RIP to Fred Smith. I really thought this year, by the way, was we see this every year with baseball. Like, you felt like this team is going to be the team of destiny. Like,
yep,
it was the year.
The Mariners, the Brewers.
We're
going to
do
yeah.
it for play for Fred this year. Kind of just felt like there was going to be that. Maybe it still can. Like we said, it's mathematically it. But the one thing that Memphis can control is how the quality of the football that is being played, right? Like, there's so many factors out there and perceptions about Memphis, about why Memphis shouldn't be brought into a new conference. And we've seen it from the presidents of different schools just don't think Memphis belongs in a different conference. But the one thing that they can do to set themselves apart from the Tulanes of the world, Tulane, we're not going to be better academically than Tulane. That's just not going to happen ever. Tulane is going to be the best available academic institution with a legitimate football program. Memphis cannot be better than Tulane. Memphis cannot be a better market than South Florida is. South Florida is the Tampa Bay area. We're not going to get to be a bigger, better market than that. There's few things Memphis can control. They can control being a better football team. That's one thing that does matter. And the fact is, right now, South Florida and Tulane both with better, let's look at it, they got a better resumes right now for conference realignment. And they also have the better football teams. And it's concerning me a lot. And yes, so Silverfield can keep us afloat here in Memphis and keep winning games, but can he do what needs to be done to set Memphis apart from these other schools that are going to be involved in this conference realignment in 2030?
Yeah, I think what makes it difficult is trying to determine what is the grading criteria, because the catch-all buzzword is brands. So, like, one thing I would say compared to Tulane and USF is, in general, it is a bigger fan base that is much more invested.
This hasn't mattered before, Jeffrey. This hasn't, like...
Well, it kind of does.
It hasn't mattered. But that is... We know it here. I feel like we know it. I know it. You know it. Calkins writes about it. Like, there is this intangible passion that we have in the Mid-South for the Memphis Tigers, basketball and football, and this entire city rallies around this team. And you can't feel that unless you're here. And, like, it doesn't – and I don't know if it matters to these – that's such an intangible thing.
Well, the thing is, like, okay, it matters in terms of, like, television ratings and whatnot, but the problem is no one really knows what the next round of realignment looks like. So, for instance, let's say...
But Memphis is acting a little... We've been acting a little too arrogant as being the best outside of the power conference.
Oh, I do agree that there's certainly a mentality of, well, we do... It is finally... We're at the point where whoever gets their number called next, we're next. And to
That's
your
not-
point... I don't know if that's the case. Now, I would also argue, I don't know if anybody gets their number called next. Like,
correct.
There's entirely...
Right, for sure, yeah.
But I'm also understanding...
Or what the next looks like. But
Memphis can't operate that way. Like, you can't do the, well, it's never going to happen again. So, like, they have to keep building and hoping that there is a number called again.
Right. To me, that's what's at stake every year. And that's what... every single year that passes, we're getting closer and closer to that conference realignment. And the one thing that we know, especially after what we saw in the most recent shakeup, is that Memphis is in the. We tried to buy our way in, right? What was the number offered?
Basically, a $200 million offer. I think over 5 years. And the key for me is it was clean marketing money.
Yeah,
it is AutoZone. It was Lowe's. It was FedEx. It was brands that everyone in college sports would love to be a part of and have, like, you didn't have to sit there and squint and go, like, is there Saudi money? Is there private equity money. It was
the money's there to say, hey, make them say no to that. The production on the football field, I feel like they've got to feel like that this is the team. And I don't, honestly, it's hard. It's a hard job, no question about it, for Memphis to be the obvious football choice over Tulane to South Florida, because I believe, Jeffrey, I mean, they're not right now, and they haven't been. They have not been, under the Ryan Silverfield era, the better football program than those two schools. They just haven't.
And I think this is...
And now North Texas is creeping up. And
I think North Texas, though, my only thing with USF, and George, you could tell me if I'm wrong, because I know you have family down there. North Texas and USF feel a little more volatile. Like, I can see where they kind of yo-yo. Like, they have moments where they're up, because it doesn't feel necessarily as sustainable. It's like we've had guys that have put runs together at both schools.
Right.
But it can swing back in the other direction very quickly.
Now, this definitely does not have the same level of effect for North Texas as this does at South Florida. But for a lot of also what we talk about when it comes to the marketing money and the general local interest of these college programs, South Florida doesn't necessarily always have that. Like, when it's down at South Florida, it is so far down the totem pole because of all the other local teams of interest. Be that, I mean, hell, they play at Raymond James right now. They don't
Bucks
have
are winning.
The Bucks are good. The Lightning are good. The Rays are perennially good. You've got Orlando not that far away. The Magic are good. Well, they should be good, but you know what I mean. Like,
see that, but I don't think that matters for conference realignment. Well, don't think that matters at all.
Here's where it does matter, is what I'm saying. Number one, it is they are going through a lot of the same funding issues that Memphis goes through, but like, they're trying to build their own stadium, but they're also trying to fund the roster. Like, they're doing all this, and unlike South Florida, Memphis got $125 million from the state to help start their construction. So
we can't control what the other ones are doing, but you can control what you're doing, right?
Correct.
And Memphis has been doing a great job controlling money.
This is the point, though, that I want to get
to. And the investment into the football program. The one key part that is missing is the actual success on the field and the impact that you can get. So one team from the American Athletic Conference is going to the playoffs, and they're going to be playing on that stage. And it's more than likely not going to be Memphis this year, and it could very well be Tulane. And which, I mean, you tell me, if you're a conference, you don't want to get into the state of Louisiana. You don't want to have another
maybe after the last couple of weeks.
I mean, you may not. but
he hasn't seen, the governor's not seemed to take in quite the same interest in the Tulane program.
Right, he doesn't. No, not at all. No,
but maybe one isn't paying a coach $50 million not to coach.
Don't you want the Vanderbilt of the American Athletic Conference to be in your conference? You might. But anyway, let's.
So the problem that we actually have is Ryan's contract leaves you with this feeling of being stuck. So I believe it's if Ryan wins, is it
one of those?
I think it's
like a Tom Allen.
Yeah, it's well. Oh. The first one I remember having it was Stoops at Kentucky, where if Stoops won six games, it was an automatic renewal, and he got a slight uptick. But with Ryan, it's like, I think it's an automatic extension if you win nine games. I need to get Jonah wrote about it.
That is, because I mean you can't help but come away from this past weekend, because I mean, we're talking 6 years. This is 6 years now, and no appearance in the conference championship. I mean, that is wild. But yeah, I would love to find out the conference details. But it's overreaction. It's overreaction Monday. I've mentioned this on before, but I'm now convincing myself even more, and I know George is against this idea. Convince me that if Mike Norvell becomes available as a coach, that Memphis should not just do some switcheroo. Would it not be, or if it
so the
if,
ninth
if
win
it played out?
Is it a 1 year extension?
9 year triggers the automatic 1 year extension.
Nine wins.
Correct.
Right.
Uh-oh.
And a raise of $100,000. If he gets to the title game. It's an automatic 2-year extension.
Yikes. See, I told you getting to the conference game was more important for him than it was for anything else.
So the key point for me is I think they're winning at least one of these two games the rest of the way.
He's going to get it. But also, there's going to be openings. So if somehow
I don't know. Like, this is where. So let me paint you this.
There could be some openings. I mean, Arkansas, he is the odds-on favorite right now.
Is that true?
That's what I heard earlier on the radio right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I think the
You could tell me, like Bet Online or someone has that, but, like, that is just a gambling market.
I was going to say, I think that's the case, that he's the betting favorite, but the actual favorite, we have no idea.
Well, of course. I'm not saying in the event that he does leave and we get a Georgia,
well, I think that's
Josh Pastner or Georgia, like, Tech situation.
I actually think we're at the point where it's
Josh Pastner week,
like,
this week.
Everybody
probably
rooting for that. Because I think for Ryan, like, this has
good
to
for
be
him.
Like, I almost think, like, that is the best solution. The problem is, I don't know if that's the case, because I would be surprised if you today, based on what I know, I would be surprised if Ryan gets the Arkansas job.
Sure. But
do I think
if the Missouri job became open,
that's where it starts to get interesting. But
you would not be surprised if he got that job, because their athletic director is the same guy.
Correct. But you also have to remember this. We are also in the era of win the press conference, which, by the way, I'm not defending, but, like, that is going to be kind of a tough sell.
I mean, he can start fresh somewhere else. And
I know, but if you're trying to sell it from Missouri, like, if you're a Missouri,
bring out the twins, you know, bring the kid element in, like, we got, you know, he's got kids.
Okay, but
there.
Think about, if you're a Missouri fan, is that exciting?
I mean, okay, so this, tell me that.
Would you rather have Alex Golish or would you rather have Ryan Silver?
So we're saying best case scenario is that Ryan
Golish.
That we could see a Ryan Silverfield to a Georgia Tech. So then that way it's clean. There's no
hard feelings. There's nothing. Like, it's just everybody
shakes
hands.
Find a new start.
Correct.
Would you think it's crazy if Norvell becomes available for a Norvell return? Would you think that would be nuts? I feel like he's not getting a better job than Florida State again.
Well, the question would be.
And then he has his local ties. And to me, I think he's the perfect fit, because he was successful here before. He's won the conference before. He could do it. And also, we know he can take a team undefeated. In this era, what you need to do is just have your team win the games that are in front of you.
In fairness, the conference title year, they did lose to Temple.
Right, but he took Florida State undefeated.
Yeah.
And so he knows what it's like to have an undefeated season. And you got to win the games in front of you, and you got to win the conference. And we know he can do that. And he would be one of those scenarios where, you know, he knows he's got job security here, and that would be great, leaving Florida State. Of whether or not he would return and want to take it. Am I crazy to think of a Norvell return?
I think it's on the table. I think there's a couple of questions. Number one, like, would he still have the same fire in his belly? Because part of this.
Would he have a new fire after, like, that? You got to prove after the being an absolute failure that he's been at Florida State. Has he won a conference game yet? No, he didn't win this past weekend. Has he won one?
I think he's won two in the last 2 years.
Two in the past year. Okay, so he did win.
Maybe they've won three.
Maybe.
They beat Wake 2 weeks ago.
So that was the one that ended his streak. It was Wake. I knew there was one that happened.
And then he beat Cal last year.
All right, point. He's going to still have something to prove.
I guess, though, would you rather, like...
What a great story for him to lead. And how he's got to know that it is... The thing is, we keep talking about this, it's not that hard. There's a very little competition. Memphis has just got to be better than a very few amount of teams to make it to the college football playoffs. There's a handful of teams you got to be better. Like, five teams.
Okay, I guess, though, my only argument... I'm not saying that I wouldn't do it. I would like to know, A, all the options.
Him or you being Norvell?
Me hiring Norvell. Because the biggest problem that
he's not fired yet.
This is not revisionist history. I'm on the record as saying this in real time. The biggest problem that I had with the Ryan Silverfield hiring when they did it was it broke the formula.
Right.
They had a clear, and they could have had Dan Lanning. And yeah, make the argument, Dan's not still here. Fine. That means he probably won the title.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not here.
And that's great.
Especially
in this era, give me a coach that's ready to leave.
Find the young coordinator. Give him the opportunity, that young, like, hungry coach that sells out, maxes out the job, and then you do it again.
Give me a reason to watch Virginia Tech games. Give me a reason to watch, you know, like that's what they did. Fuente left, that's great. I watched Virginia Tech after that.
Well, by the way, how do you like him now?
Right, and now he's, I don't know, if it's a tie to try to figure out who that 12th team is, we've got Fuente on our side there. To help, I guess, I don't know what his influence is on this college football committee that he's working on. But the point is, no, I agree, they definitely broke the formula, and that could be why Memphis is in the situation. And can they reignite that same success after missing it, right? Is everything still in place from before to pull off what they did with Fuente and with Norvell? Like, that was an amazing back-to-back hire, and it should give you confidence that Memphis can move on beyond that. But Norvell is still – this guy beat Alabama earlier in the year. He's obviously not working out at Florida State. He did work out at Memphis, so I do feel like he could work out at Memphis again, especially with an easier slate in front of him and more money.
Yeah, you just never know about the whole ego of having to go back down. And I would suspect at this point what people are
trying. What is he going to do? He's going to go to TV and he's going to get a worse job than, like, he's not getting a better job than Florida State.
He is due $53 million. And I don't know, like, maybe enough of this. Like, I do think there's this reality where all of these teams fired their coaches without having, like, a firm plan. Like, for instance, I think Florida.
I mean, we're arguing two coaches that have not been fired or changing jobs yet. I mean, Norvell's still the coach. Silverfield's still the coach. But
well,
I'm just giving a scenario.
Silverfield's not getting fired.
He's not. He's not going to get fired.
No.
He's going to have to leave.
Right. So,
on his own for another job.
But to me, it's like, would you rather do that or would you? I don't know, George. What about Charles Huff down at Southern? Like, Marshall's figuring out very quickly. They thought they could do better than him, but all of a sudden, that ain't looking right. Now he's gone down to Southern, a program that had been left for dead for the last 10 years, and he's got him with the chance of perhaps playing for the Sun Belt.
Now,
we can go
for what it's
list.
Worth with Huff. He did also bring like his entire team from Marshall.
But by the way, he could do it again.
He absolutely could. A lot of them still have eligibility.
I'd be for that. I mean, the idea of the reason I go to Norvell is because he's a guy who has got it done in Memphis.
Correct.
And would also be Memphis should not be making a celebrity coach hire, right? But Norvell is that now at this point. Like, he is a known guy because of his time at Florida State. So now he is a guy who's been on the carousel, right?
Sure.
So, like, Memphis shouldn't be hiring the Houston Nuts and the people of the world of, like, this is not a fallback plan for somebody else. But for him, we make the exception because we only had a short run with Mike Norvell. So, like, bring him back. Why not?
I guess the other question I have with Norvell
is
how much of it was Norvell and how much of it was the staff? Because I don't know if y'all saw, there was that big athletic story.
It was really good.
Now, obviously, all these guys were not 100% there on the 2019 team, like all the staff, but it's like, you know, the car wash through here is Dillingham, who's having tremendous success at Arizona State, Lanning, who's then went and took the Georgia DC job, now he's the Oregon coach. You had obviously Mike Ryan is now a head coach. I think Limbo was included in that, and he had a run at Buffalo that was decent.
Yeah.
But like
the reason I bring that up is in the fan base as well to bring him back.
Well, like what if most of Cincinnati's success under Luke Fickell wasn't necessarily Luke Fickell? What if it was Marcus Freeman? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, sometimes knowing the appropriate amount of credit or the appropriate amount of blame to give someone.
Well, we don't know because of his lack of success now.
Correct.
But the same happened with Fuente. But both of those guys were able to be successful at Memphis and go to the conference championship game. So, I mean, we've got points, but you don't know with anybody, right? You have no idea. But we do know with Norvell that he, as the head coach, got it done with a smaller budget and a harder schedule than what Memphis is dealing with right now.
And I mean, I'm not someone that's just vehemently opposed to the let's do it, let's run it back, because I think a lot of people think it's a lot less successful than it is. Like, yeah, Mack Brown technically got fired. Mack Brown also made North Carolina they had a year where they went to, I mean, I think it was the COVID year, but they went to the Orange Bowl. Like, they were back perennially to like 8-4, 9-3. Like, this idea that it didn't work at North Carolina is insane. Like, yeah, they didn't max it out or whatnot, but like, I don't necessarily think it's always just a bad thing.
All right.
Well, I would need to know more.
It's a crazy. I mean, it's not even possible right now, but and maybe we will get into the conversation. I guess the question of what's possible, this is my question to you, Jeffrey, because we talk about, and we're way past time for a break, it looks like, but Missouri, like, we know that's a possible leaning. Is there another place that you'd be confident, like, if something shifted, that it would be a, like, there's no way Silverfield goes to Auburn, they don't want him in Auburn?
I do not think that it's Auburn gets to Ryan Silverfield.
If Ole Miss opens when Lane Kiffin leaves, or they want him?
I would think Ole Miss would hire, they would hire their defensive coordinator as a head coach before getting to Ryan. I think they, like, I'm not saying that they would 100% hire Pete Golding, but what I'm saying is Pete Golding feels like the floor of what they would do.
Right.
I mean, there couldn't be any more big possible movements that we're going to see, so there's really no way to forecast it because it is unlike any
year. What you could maybe talk me into is, like, if Oklahoma State can't get Eric Morris, which it seems like that's who they have their eyes set on.
That would be a,
like, maybe
spot.
If they fall down far enough, but, like, I don't know. Like, that's the problem, is, like, a lot of these things, like,
it could have to be the scenario where it's a job that's not open yet, but that coach leaves.
Correct.
Like Missouri.
The spinning
where
of
that's the right, carousel, where, how fast does it go? And what type of, who's, how many returnees do we have? Which it seems fewer than ever before right now. Is there's a lot of coaches getting out of the game versus returning back out there. So, unless we see Saban return to LSU, right? Like, there's...
I think I'd bet against that.
I would, too. Yeah. I would bet against it, too. But, like...
Don't think you'd get great odds.
The
you probably would get great odds. You might be also be lighting money on fire.
Yeah.
But, anyway, so...
Which is what I've been doing the last 2 weeks.
It's possible, because there's going to be less veteran coaches out there taking jobs than we used to have.
Yeah, so, I think that's the other story for me so far, is a lot of these coaches that are the hot names, like, so far they've been staying.
Yeah.
And... there's a lot of openings, and there's a lot of coaches staying. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's get into the TV timeout. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. We'll get into the Grizzlies and Tiger basketball. We'll do that during the list. Also, CJ Hurt going to join us during the next hour. But yesterday, YouTube TV formally informed customers that it is issuing a $20 credit as a result of the company's ongoing carriage dispute with Disney, which has kept the ESPN family of networks off the platform since Halloween. In an email sent to subscribers, YouTube TV said that, quote, over the next few days, you'll receive a follow-up email with instructions on how to redeem your $20 credit on YouTube TV. Once redeemed, this will be applied to your next bill. Since before the Disney blackout, YouTube TV has said that any extended disruption of service would result in the $20 rebate. Saturday, The Athletic reported customers would receive the credit if YouTube TV and Disney failed to reach a deal by Sunday. With customers being informed of the forthcoming rebate on Sunday, a deal in the next few days seems unlikely. Also, additionally, did you see this little detail?
Ooh, what's that?
This, according to Omaha Productions' official account, Bob Iger, the head of the Walt Disney Company, will be a guest on the Manning Cast.
I'm telling you, the Manning Cast tonight is going to be much watched just because of that, right? But Shane Gillis is also on there. Quintana Brunson is also from Abbott Elementary. We've got a great cast, but yeah, the Bob Iger, he doesn't do this type of stuff. It's just weird timing for him to be on the Manning Cast the week that the company he runs is in a dispute.
I guess this is the question that I have. And granted,
CEO of Disney.
All these people are smarter than me. That's fine. I don't think this is some issue that's going to be one with public debate, because I think everybody's just checked out. Like, no one really this isn't like a battle of who's going to get the stronger case made, and that's going to be like, you know what? I'm with ESPN. Everybody's just sitting here going, all y'all do is just gripe over money. I'm paying more money than ever. And I still don't have it.
Right.
I don't care. Like that, I think that's how normal people are thinking.
No, I agree. And you know, I was talking to some folks out at the casino on Saturday, right?
Sure.
The people that are part of the reason to go to the Caesars Sportsbook is to make sure you can see every game, mm-hmm. right? Because you may not be able to do it at home.
I don't have to wonder about whether or not that game's on. Like, it's on there. It's on at the sportsbook.
Right. But about how many people they know that have canceled YouTube TV and over the past few days, we've saw, of course, we're on entering in week three now, but I guess is about to start because
SEC commissioner full week.
SEC commissioner had his tone deaf tweet about subscribing to the Disney
ESPN
bundle.
Unlimited.
The Disney bundle, and it was very easy, but it's like, no, you're missing the point. We don't want to subscribe to
something else
to correct. See this. We would like to subscribe to the thing we thought we were supposed to get it on already. And
When I made the purchase, this was included.
Right. And now it's not in dispute. This is Google versus Disney. And Disney does have their own, like they do have Hulu, which is the point. So it's making them like, do they end up making more money out of it? Is it forcing people to go to the ESPN app or to Hulu Live? Bailing on YouTube because of it? It's very interesting. This is the television version of the shutdown. Like at some point, somebody is going to cave. And I don't think Tim Kaine works for either company.
I'm choosing to follow Andrew Marchand's lead here because he covers this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's covering for one side or the other. He really does not. He has said he has not seen evidence to suggest that this is ESPN's ploy to drive everyone to ESPN Unlimited or to the bundle, like you said.
I feel like I agree with that, but like it's a benefit. It is like
Well, the complication would be is, okay, if I'm projecting that YouTube TV is going to wind up in 5 years as the number one television provider, however you want to say it. You know what right. I mean? Like, which is where things are trending. Why would they not want to be on that platform? Because even if they're getting quote unquote the reduced rate, they would still be getting the extra $15 a month times 5 million people. Like,
well, I do think they want to be on it, but I feel like the longer it goes, the better for their other subscribers. And then eventually they get back on it. And I think it's fine. I think it's going to be fine for Disney at the end of the day. They're getting more subscribers now to their other platforms, and they're going to be back on YouTube, right? It's just like the government shutdown. Like, it's going to end.
Someone will break eventually.
It's going to end.
I would think.
I would be stunned if it does not end, right? Because like you're saying, Disney wants to be on there. Like, they want.
Well, I mean, all these carriage disputes eventually end.
Right, Disney wants to be on there, and YouTube wants them on there because you can't say your cable package without ESPN. And that's always been a big benefit and a negotiation power that Disney has had. And now they've got their own app. I think it gives them even more power in these negotiations because they can profit off of not being on YouTube.
I guess the one...
Not saying that that's their strategy. I'm not saying at all that that's their strategy, hope. I'm saying, like, at least they can tell themselves, well, man, it sucks we're not on YouTube right now, but at least we've got this thing we can sell to people in the interim, and maybe they'll come join us over here. Because not only do they have their own app, but they also have the Hulu Live cable, which is pretty much the number one competitor. I mean, it's Sling and that people get their internet cable from.
I guess the only thing I would say is your YouTube TV. If YouTube TV were
you have to now have for the NFL package, right? So
no, you just have to have the YouTube app. Like for instance, I don't have YouTube TV anymore.
But you do have the Sunday...
But I have Sunday ticket, so it's just YouTube. Through my YouTube app.
Okay.
Where it gets complicated is if I want to watch the network game, so like when the Titans play on CBS, like right. whatever the local game is, that's blacked out on my YouTube, whereas when I used to have YouTube TV, I could still...
But
at
it's free on your television, as you said.
Correct.
Everybody, it's just easy word of advice, is get an antenna. The antennas work
yes.
great now, so like the antennas... There was some spotty coverage at the beginning, so if you had one, it didn't work out great. You can get an antenna, you can get it for fairly cheap, and you can get all of your local channels and then some. They've got oodles of these extra channels. You'll be watching reruns of all types of old...
Remember when we used to watch Grizzlies games and they would run commercials for Comet? And I was like,
yes.
There's no way that's a real channel. I found it on when there was another carriage dispute once upon a time, and it's like,
I found comment scrolling through. It's like, okay, what all is on this thing?
It is amazing the amount of content that's out there over the air. Okay, now, but you can get all of your regular stuff.
I want to go back to your YouTube point, because I think this is the issue. If YouTube were DirecTV, I think you're 100% right, where at a certain point it's like they're just going to have to offer ESPN. The problem, though, with YouTube TV is, George, we finally did the math. Like, it's like not even 5% of Google's money.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Okay.
This is essentially peanuts for Google.
Correct. So it's not like this is their primary business.
No, I thought we figured out at least a roundabout of that.
Well,
last week
we started doing when we started calculating the money they make off ads and whatnot, like, okay, it's a bigger portion of the pie, but it's like, no. Like, when you do just based on market cap versus what they make from YouTube, it is not very much.
That does not shock me.
Because they're just in so many other format.
Sure. I mean, it's kind of historically been GE owning,
GE owning NBC. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's happened where
the Walt Disney Company owning ABC.
Right. Well, yeah. Walt Disney. And that's not their number one either, but ESPN is up there.
You will learn in the history of ABC, it was not founded by Walt Disney.
Yes, it was not.
It was bought.
What we're now seeing, there's a lot of bit ongoing national nightmares, right? From the government shutdown, YouTube versus Disney, and Jeffrey being locked out of Twitter.
Yeah.
One of them seems to be coming to a close, but the Monday Night Football is going to go on tonight. An exciting game with an exciting Manning cast. So hopefully if you do have YouTube TV, you don't have access to the game, you should check it out. I think it's going to be a fun watch somewhere. It's unfortunate to miss it tonight, but I don't think...
Y'all tell me this. I know I'm dumb, but I always feel like whenever we get to these things, I'm always just like, how did this happen? Like, I know a certain point is a deadline is a negotiation tactic,
right?
But it's like, how did we get to the point where YouTube TV and ESPN don't have an agreement? Y'all have a bad deal to begin with? Because it doesn't seem like it.
I mean, it keeps happening. So you do wonder. I think it's the
still
deadline.
Blame the commish. This would be over if Goodell just walked in and said, "Figure this out."
Right.
But the commish is not in that business. Shout out to the commish. He made it to Germany.
Oh, I'm sure
for the German game.
Oh yeah.
Where did they play it? Germany? Was it
they
in Berlin?
Played it,
Berlin?
They played it in the Olympic Stadium. The Berlin Olympics.
Berlin.
So they had been playing it like Allianz
that's where,
in Munich.
Yeah, Bayern Munich plays.
Yeah.
That stadium is stunning, by the way.
That stadium is stunning. This stadium is like, I kind of get the sense the Olympic Stadium is kind of like MetLife for us in America, where it's not their best stadium, but it's in like their biggest city.
Yeah, pretty much.
So like,
there's some unfortunate
Yeah, the 36 Olympics happened there.
Yeah, unfortunate history for Germany from that building. I was seeing a lot of it this weekend on my Twitter, Jeff. Uh-huh. I'm missing out on the staircases that lead to nowhere, and there's all these theories of whose staircase was leading to what. Like, you should definitely look into some of the unfortunate history of that place at the NFL.
Wait till they learn about the history of Munich.
Yes, well, yeah.
Hear me out. Where they should go, just because the stadium is fantastic.
Dortmund,
BVB. Yep.
That
oh
was
my
all
goodness.
All my buddies that went to Germany for overseas, they were all like, that's where, because like they're like, the Dortmund, like if you look at the whole area of Dortmund, Cologne, like all that, it's like, it's actually bigger than Berlin. And he's like, that's where the stadium's sick.
Oh, it's incredible. The wall that they have, they essentially did like the Clippers thing, but way earlier.
Yeah, I think the Clippers essentially did that, the wall of yellow.
Yes.
Now, awesome. Next week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.